Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Yes, tonight on Battle of the Autists. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong show.
Is it?
Show.
Is it really?
Well,
that's the Thursday night show.
I guess not. It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to tonight's program. If you are a new listener to this show, please visit freetalklive.com and find out all about us and what we do and why we do it and why we're here. It looks like the lady of the house has decorated some hearts around the place in celebration of February and Valentine's Day. Am I pronouncing
the
that
massacre?
Wrong? No, not the massacre.
Oh.
The one where, like, there's this little, like, baby with, like, a bow and arrow who shoots people.
Oh. So does that mean that your home is, you know, delicately gracing its presence with Tommy guns and blood? Because that would be, I mean, fun.
I mean, I might be able to get my guns back this month, so I'm a little excited about that.
Oh, I was just thinking like little stuck-up stickers of Tommy guns like the little hearts here.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it never occurred to me that no one ever celebrates Valentine's Day with actual human hearts.
You mentioned that, and all
some
I have...
Southeast cannibal tribe.
All I have stuck in
okay,
my head...
Okay, fine, not nobody.
Is, what is it, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where, like, the Nazi guy, like, reaches in and pulls the guy's beard out, right, and it's still pumping as he throws it to him? Like, that's what I think of when you mention celebrating Valentine's Day with human hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might actually happen. There's a whole lot of nervous tissue in the heart, specifically to keep it pumping in case it loses signal from your spine. So it might still be pumping if you pulled it from someone's chest.
So that's true? Like, that can be done?
It's possible.
Well, I mean, they have heart tissue in, like, Petri dishes still.
Sure. I mean, I've heard of this, especially, like, old, what do we call it, black belt theater, kung fu theater, you know, type movies.
Yeah,
like, oh, I will tell you a hot dog and show it to you before you die, or whatever, right?
It's entirely possible that it might be freaking out and just, like, pump, 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 pump.
Yeah.
Man.
Instead of just like a chill, resting heartbeat, thump, 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 thump.
Well,
there's some organ donor delivery guy going, yeah, that's totally what happens in the box in the back.
Oh, man. I'm trying
the
to remember.
The cooler just bounces around.
I'm trying to remember the story. It was well before I probably even listened to Free Talk Live, but it was a story of like the accidental swap of the little Playmate cooler. Right. So apparently they put these like when like some guy dies and he signed the thing on his owner organ donor, like it, and they take him in and like, oh, we've got a waiting list of people waiting for X organ. I don't know if it was a
they
heart
pull out
or
a tuna
whatever.
Sandwich.
And that's what happened. Like the guy showed up at like you know, at the hospital or whatever and they're like, okay, here it is. They open it up and it's somebody's lunch. Literally.
Some construction worker up on top of the building like, oh man, I could really go for a tuna sandwich right about now.
I don't know that it was
a human heart?
I don't know that it was a tuna sandwich, but it was, you know, lunch nonetheless.
Whatever it is.
Obviously, like, somebody's home-packed lunch, and then, like, the other person got, you know, the organ that was awaiting
the transplant. Some kid in the cafeteria.
He's like, oh,
I'll trade you.
Who looks spleen for lunch, or whatever.
I told Mom no liver.
No onions to go with it either. But. He's asking lunch lady, hey, can you fry me up some onions, please? I'm like, why? I'm like, because well, I got an organ here I'm going to eat for lunch.
Can you cook this? My mom gave it to me raw.
All right. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Pickless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
The
On loan from the Sunday show.
You are on loan. It's true. Yeah. We had to take out a loan to get you to go on loan. No, we didn't.
Not quite on loan from the Smithsonian, but we'll take it.
We asked you nicely, and you were like, sure. And that was about the extent of it.
I mean, it didn't have to be a complicated conversation, man. Yes. Will you come in on Saturday instead?
I've been really working on that. I tend to be... I spent so much damn time in the corporate environment that, like, oftentimes before you ask, you have to explain the why, right, in order to get somebody to be like, yeah, sure, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, hey, can you do Saturday instead of Sunday?
Instead of just rude texting people all the time.
You have to be like, hey, you know, I had this thing happen, this other thing happened, and it created a vacancy in this particular thing. Can we, you know, I don't know, borrow some labor from your department, whatever it is, right? Kind of a thing. And you normally, if you do that, they're like, oh, they've got a good reason. And, like, you know, I've helped them out. They've helped me out, you know, blah, blah, blah. Reciprocation and all that kind of thing. So.
In the private world, it's like none your business. Either you can help me out or you can't, but I don't need to justify anything to you about it.
But, like, somebody recently was like, hey, man, is the thing you were selling still available? I'm like, yes. And they're like, can I come pick it up on Tuesday? I'm like, yes.
Do you have the money?
Like, no, they're like, I have cash in hand, whatever.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Right? Is 1 o'clock okay?
Yes.
Right? Like, this was the extent of the whole thing. And I'm like, wow, I just had a whole conversation with, like, one-syllable words, yeah. Man. You know, one word and one-syllable words for every response in, like, a, you know, a text thread of, I don't know, six or so texts.
I'm also going to assume the guy that came to pick it up was a dude.
It was.
Was, yeah.
Why would you assume that?
Because of the brevity in the text and the fact that he was okay with the brevity.
You mean the brevity?
Brevity. Brevity.
Brev.
Bruv.
What's up, bruv?
I'm not British.
Is that? Oh, they do say that. Oh, and I think it's British in, like, Ireland,
Liverpool.
Scotland, where
okay. They
say bruv.
Mm. Or whatever. Is it not Liverpool?
So does this
whatever.
Mean I'm going to be on the Wednesday show?
No.
So he's from the Saturday show. So you've got to fill the Saturday show with someone. And I assume the next logical thing to do is just borrow from the show after that. So then you have to fill that one. So borrow from the
we'll
show
bring
after
in
that,
someone
and then I end up on the
new.
Wednesday show.
I can't even begin to describe to you how... complicated the scheduling of hosts and co-hosts actually is.
We need an AI scheduling manager.
And I'm so glad that, like, I'm only responsible for the days that I'm first chair, right? And Bonnie, of course, is responsible for her days, and she's been doing a great job. Whenever it was that the raid happened and I had to do schedules for the entire week, right? I think you remember. I
that
had
was all 7 days, too.
I had, like, Mark put it together, actually. It was a Google Doc, I think, spreadsheet style, Excel style. And he had things, like, color-coded and, like, you know, yellow means Tuesday and red means Wednesday, you know, and all this kind of thing. And so, like, and if somebody, like, was like, dude, I can't be there today. I go, oh, man, and I got to call somebody and, like, hustle or whatever. Fortunately, we have enough... co-hosts that, like, finding a replacement, generally speaking, isn't difficult. It's the last minute stuff that, like, really makes it tough, right? You know, if it's like the day of and somebody's like, dude, my car broke down, I can't make it, you're like, what am I gonna do, you know? So we've got a number of, you know, unscheduled hosts who have said, hey, you know, you ever need somebody, give me a call, that kind of thing. So we have plenty of people who are willing at this point. But when we were doing 7 days a week of the live show, which we're only doing four now, like, it was a monumental task for one man just to do the schedule. I did it, but, like, you had to be not only in front of the ball, but, like, following the ball, like, every day.
Mm.
So, but, you know, we made it happen. We made it work. And
the unsung heroes of Free Talk Live.
What I really love.
Weren't you listening? He's singing himself.
Well,
he's
but it was
no longer on sub.
But it was Mark before that.
And
who got
who
no
better
credit
to sing
for it.
Than you?
Sorry,
I'm making a reference to your musical career.
CaptainKickass.com.
Yeah,
if you want to find any of my music.
Yeah, that was the opening dish show. That was the point.
Oh, I was supposed to segue there?
Exactly.
Oh, I missed out. Sorry, man. It's good to see you, man. It's good to see you, too.
Yep.
It's good to see that. Ooh, looks like people are calling. We'll get to those in just a minute. I want to kick this show off by talking about... We've talked about this kind of thing before, and I believe we've actually talked about this pastor
Uh-oh.
Before. He's not the pastor of disaster, No. Instead, he's an Ohio pastor who has been targeted. This is from...
By the state.
Totally. We've heard of this kind of thing before, right? Yep. Some church tries to feed the homeless. Like, no, you don't have a permit. And the cops show up and, like, dump all the food.
Or house them.
Pour bleach on it or whatever.
Yeah, they are real sticklers about feeding the homeless.
Yeah,
churches aren't allowed to do it. Food Not Bombs keeps getting kicked out of places. But, yeah, you're just not allowed to solve this problem.
Voluntarily, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's their problem to leave unsolved and thus get more votes.
It's not like they're solving it, right?
But that is, of course, you can solve it if you've paid. Mm. If you've paid for the license, for the fee. If you've asked permission like a coward, right? And then also paid the powers that be for the permission, for the slip, for the piece of paper that says, yes, you've paid your slave owners, and now you may feed the homeless.
You have not paid the monopoly on evil that you are allowed to do good.
Well, okay, let's clear this up as well. The likelihood is that this church has filed with the state for tax-exempt nonprofit status.
My guess, yes.
So they've already got a permission slip. So if we're going to hang it on permission slips, they theoretically could go get one more to do what they're doing legally, just as they did to remain tax exempt.
But let's find out, because the headline says, and this is from Cincinnati.com, Ohio City targets pastor who helped homeless stay warm in freezing weather. What's the crime? ? And
brought them inside.
It seems to be that that's the crime, at least. I've only breezed through this article. I haven't, read it in depth. But the subheadline is, being homeless is not a crime. Helping the homeless should not be a crime. The real crime is that we do not do nearly enough to help those in need.
Well, hold on. Being homeless is actually a crime.
In some
loitering.
Places.
No, I mean, most cities have loitering.
Vagrancy.
Laws. Yeah, loitering, right. Vagrancy. Yeah, no, it's one of the damnable miseries of our society that you are not allowed to exist without someone paying for the privilege. There's nowhere that you are allowed to just be.
Yeah, this is true. Try not having a physical mailing address for a while. See how your life goes.
Well, we didn't get to the article a week or two ago. Right, where they're banning stopping from walking in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you can't even stop your motion without it being a crime.
Yeah, in Vegas,
let alone,
you're just walking down the street,
here.
And, like, you stop, and, like, a cop is around. They'll come up to you and be like, hey, move along. Right? Or... And
write
you
a citation
and
at this point.
You're like, no, I'm just standing here. I'm smoking a cigarette or whatever, right? You know? They'll write you a citation, and that's a crime, apparently.
So let alone being homeless or living or sitting or sleeping somewhere, right? You're not even allowed to stop moving.
But look, man, it's just February, right? It just turned February, right? It's been January and February, typically the coldest months of the year, particularly in the northern regions, right? Ohio is in one of the northern regions where they get actual winter, sometimes severe winter. You know, we're talking negative degrees, worse than New Hampshire. Although we are getting down into the teens again this week, so.
Whatever.
Yeah, for here.
Well, cold is one thing, but they get, like, the blizzards. And the, feats of snow.
Yeah. We get that from time to time, but, not as regularly as they do in, Ohio and, Minnesota and Wisconsin and Iowa.
The further north you go, yes.
Yeah.
But, I'm a city dweller.
Yeah.
And a foot of snow is plenty.
Oh.
And it has been for, the last 5 years.
Yeah. While our society leaves far too many out in the cold, Reverend Chris Avell of Dad's Place in Tiny Bryan, Ohio, 53 miles southwest of Toledo, finds himself in legal hot water. The pastor's supposed crime? Taking in homeless people. Avell is accused of violating the law when he opened the doors to his church 24 hours a day for those who needed to escape the elements.
So he used his church as a sanctuary.
Yeah, he used his sanctuary as a sanctuary.
Right? Huh.
Yeah. I mean, this is the type of case that jury nullification is meant for, right? You take it a trial.
Yeah.
Jury goes there's no way we're finding him guilty.
Wouldn't that be a great world to live in, Richie?
It's theoretically possible.
It is theoretically possible. It would be great. And I really wish people were like that.
I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but there was a recent case where something similar happened where they just couldn't prosecute somebody for whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. Maybe like the PJ.org website has the example, right, where the jury nullified it and said no.
Well, the thing is, didn't do it. The judges and the prosecutors, they are very, very good at showmanship.
Yes.
And they thoroughly convince every jury that what they are there to do is very simple. They are not there to decide whether something evil was done. They are there very simply to decide whether or not this thing that we wrote down was violated according to our definitions.
Right. And which is why organizations like the Fully Informed Jury Association exist and tries to spread the message of jury nullification far and wide.
Yes.
As an educational campaign so people know about it.
Yes.
And when we mention it on this show, hopefully we have people in Ohio, you know, listening, go pass out literature for this guy at the local courthouse.
Dear everyone listening, if you have a magic rectangle or a computer or a tablet in front of you, go do a search for jury nullification. If you've never heard of it, you don't know what it is, do a search for it, read up on it, because it may save your life. It may save somebody else's life. You may save somebody else's life if you're called to jury duty and you go and you find that there's no victim. There are things that you can do as a juror and as a jury that could save somebody's life. So,
and keep your mouth shut, because the goal at that point is not to find a way to get out of jury duty. It's trying to find a way to get on the jury to save someone else's life and livelihood.
Yeah, what astonishes me is all the cases that end up having to get redone. And, oh, that's a mistrial.
Yep.
You told the jury that they had this constitutionally protected power. You're not allowed to do that.
Except in New Hampshire.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How many different, we'll call them counts, how many counts do you think they prosecuted this guy on?
Oh, how many homeless people did he have? One count per homeless individual?
You think it's one per individual?
I would assume.
I'm not sure, but like, just guess at a number.
20 to 30.
Again, how many homeless individuals are we talking?
I have no
idea.
Like
120?
I have no idea.
And how often did he do this? He might have done this night after night after night. Guy could have 1,000 charges by this point.
Avell was arraigned on January 11th and pled not guilty on 18 zoning violations.
Mm. Oh, because it wasn't zoned residential?
Zoning violations.
This is a commercial district. You're not allowed to sleep overnight here.
And it speaks volumes about adhering to policies even when doing so is utterly ridiculous.
Well, quick question. Isn't the whole point of a church to not be commercial?
So that's why it's not a violation on that count.
So why are
it's a non commercial, like zoning violations are not necessarily commercial. It's building code, right? And so if your building isn't zoned for residential,
you didn't
or
have
hotel
a kitchen and a shower and bathrooms.
Although most churches do have kitchens, I don't know about showers.
Whatever the rules are for
the whatever this in Bryan, Ohio, wherever the heck that is. It speaks even more about our collective neglect of the needy. The very thing was on my mind as I laid warm in my bed thinking about the case as temperatures outside dropped below freezing on a recent night. This weekend's temperatures in Columbus are expected to be below freezing again. Many of the city's homeless residents will be in shelters. Many will be left out in the cold. What Avell did seemed a humane no-brainer. The people needed shelter. Well, despite being warned to stop in November, the pastor kept providing that shelter, even though his church was not zoned to do what churches do, feed and house those in need. So, yes, Peekless, he apparently did this as far back as, you know, when it starts to get cold.
See how
November.
Nice, see how nice the police are being? They could have charged him with every single person he let in. They're only charging him like 18.
We told you that you cannot be a compassionate human being back in November.
And look at how many times he violated that, and they're only putting him in jail for 18 of them.
Good on him for ignoring the state and serving his higher power.
Amen.
Word. Between 2022 and 2023, the number of homeless people in the nation increased by 12%, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development's annual homelessness assessment report. Nearly 11,386 Ohioans. Oh, is that Ohioans? It's not Ohio Knights or Ohioans.
Do you prefer Buckeye Stater?
Ohioers. Anyway.
Oh, hi, Marks.
Nearly 11,386 Ohioans experienced homelessness. sheltered and unsheltered on a single night in January 2023, according to that particular assessment. So peak homeless during the coldest night of last year was over 11,000 people.
Okay.
This is how uncompassionate the state is. Discompassionate? Lack of compassion? Whatever.
I think you had it right the first time.
You know what I'm saying.
Heartless.
Yeah. There's a subheading here that I think links to something else, but it says, where's the compassion? As folks freeze to death in Milwaukee, Ohio pastor charged for offering shelter. That's another story from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where apparently something similar is going on, where there are homeless people freezing to death because it gets so cold and there's not enough shelter.
Can you imagine if they do nullify, like when he walks in there the next time, the big smile and swinging, you know, that he walks in there with,
right?
Knowing that, like, you guys are just wasting everyone's time, wasting my time, wasting your time, we're wasting taxpayer dollars. Because the jury has already said we're not going to do anything with this guy.
And, like, again, libertarian slash anarchist, right? If we want to talk about the non-aggression principle or victimless crime, particularly in this case, who is the church harming?
Oh, it goes above and beyond. This is that plus. This is the stuff that the people who think the non-aggression principle is not enough, right, want people to do,
mm-hmm.
right? Take action for things that you think action needs to be taken on above and beyond just not doing harm.
Yeah, no, it
this
is very,
actively doing good.
It is very important for human beings to do what is right rather than what is legal.
Right.
Yeah.
In every case, like if you feel like as I go through life, I find that the most difficult decision, like if you face a decision and you look at, okay, well, if I do this, then this will happen. If I do that, then that will happen. Generally speaking, for me anyway, the most difficult decision is usually the right one. Right?
Okay.
But you have to have the courage to do the right thing in the face of anything that might happen to
you. In the face of the state. Absent the state, the right decision is usually pretty obvious and usually pretty easy.
Right. Yeah. Yes, okay. Correct. Right.
All right.
But when you're struggling with the thing that you're like, oh, it's the right thing to do, but, man, it might be illegal. I might get in trouble. It's like, you have to make a decision at that point.
Yep.
Are you going to do the right thing or are you going to do the legal thing?
Yep.
I encourage people, this is not advice, I encourage people to do the right thing, particularly for other humans. Have some compassion.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'd also like to point out that none of this would be necessary if they'd let enough people keep their money that we could have donated to the charities that would have kept these people off the streets in the first place.
Sure, one of those charities may also just be the church.
Yeah, including this church
including
right here.
The church. But they make it illegal, so even if there was a charity, right, sometimes people don't like going to the shelter because it's overly religious, and they choose to be on the street.
And then they can't campaign on how many homeless people there are freezing to death.
We'll talk more about this pastor and his church and what's happened to him for being a compassionate human and offering shelter to those freezing in the Ohio winter. Coming up, it's Free Talk Live.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Today News Update. This morning, America strikes back, but there is a mixed response. The Pentagon finally launching strikes at least 85 targets in Iraq and Syria in response to Iran-backed proxy forces using a drone a week ago to attack one of our bases, killing three U.S. soldiers and injuring dozens more. Now, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, saying in a statement, "Unfortunately, the administration waited for a week and telegraphed to the world, including to Iran, the nature of our response." In other news, the president is scheduled to visit California and Nevada over the weekend. Here's USA's John Schaefer.
The president plans to be in Los Angeles Saturday, where he will meet with black leaders in the entertainment industry as they prepare for the Grammy Awards. His campaign intends to air ads during the Grammys focusing on abortion rights. I'm John Schaefer.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our fine radio program. We are a nationally syndicated talk radio program where you can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. We talk about things. We bring in show prep. We bring in articles of news. We generally focus on like current events and that kind of stuff. So, we'll talk about that. You can talk about that, too, if you want to, or bring up whatever is on your mind. That's why it's called Free Talk Live. The telephone number, should you like to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th. At Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost, and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. I'm looking forward to it. It's I really liked that they moved it back to, sort of the pre-funk to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So yep. It's the first, you know, 4 days or so before the fest. And so that was great because not only is it decentralized, you get to do, you know, whatever. Like, if you want an event, bring the event, be the event.
Do you find that the pre-funk is more well attended than the post-funk?
Porcupine Freedom Festival is far better attended.
Well, no, I got that, yes. But the people who, the pre-fork, as opposed to the post-fork.
Right. The answer, in my estimation, is yes. Right, and this is just based on cursory observation.
I'm counting people. I'm not there, so that's all I'm asking.
But yes, and some of that is because, well, the people who do their thing every year, either A, want to capitalize on a couple of additional days, right? So they come early, right? But or B, they just want to get there early and set up before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So if they get set up, they can open early and make a couple extra bucks too.
Okay.
So there's that to consider, just from a financial or at least get your product or service that you're trying to do or your event that you're having to get it out there. But the other thing is, there are a small but I don't know what the right word is. A dedicated contingent of people who have sort of been, I don't know, they at least feel like they've been, sort of canceled or otherwise, not friendly to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, right?
Sure.
Some people have, like, they've banned a couple of people over the course of years and stuff like that. So there are people who really desire to have a festival where they can just do whatever event or product or service they want to provide,
understood.
Or even just hang out and party without any of the the large festival sort of drama that goes on.
My thinking is after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, right? You have people who come from all over, and they go like, "This is fantastic. I wish I had more time," right? And then Forkfest being afterwards would allow them to extend that perhaps, and maybe
there is a. Like, I enjoyed Forkfest when it was after the Porcupine Freedom Festival as well. The two benefits are, like, if you have it before, well, then you get all the pre-stuff, and you get set up, and the vendors can, make a little extra money, because most of the vendors get there a day early, 2 days early, depending on what they're doing. But the benefit of having Forkfest after the Porcupine Freedom Festival was always that the pork festers would begin leaving. Some would stay. But then you would get sort of, we'll call them regular people attending, because the 4th of July weekend is like right there.
Okay.
Right? And that's what Forkfest, ran into. It like ran into and occurring upon the 4th of July. And so that's what I kind of liked about it being afterward, was that it was better for outreach.
Okay.
For connecting with people who, Forkfest, what's this? Freedom Fest? Oh, I love freedom. It's the 4th. Like, people are in that 4th of July mood. They're thinking about the word freedom already. And so it was much easier to, just do outreach, to, connect with people. Just as, hey, you're a campsite across from me. And, you guys are having fun? Yeah, we're having fun, too. And this is what we do and why we do it and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I do a radio show. Yeah, here, have some literature, that kind of stuff. So, it served a better position as far as outreach to people who would come to the campground for the 4th of July weekend rather than coming there for either of the two fests. That being said, Forkfest had to be either a week or almost a week after in order to overlap the 4th of July holiday.
This time.
And so, most of the times, the way it's scheduled, most of the times in order to get to the 4th of July holiday, it would be about a week, 6-7 days after Porcupine. So that made it a two-week thing they had to attend. Now that the Forkfest is before, it's a shorter time. It's 3 or 4 days before. And so now it's like a 10-day commitment instead of a 14-day commitment.
Like I said, just a general curiosity is to the pros and cons of...
There's trade-offs, but I feel like now it's back to OG Forkfest, right?
Fair enough.
Forkfest originally was before. It got moved because somebody suggested it, and everybody was like, whatever. And so they did, and it was fun, too. But I think I prefer the pre-funk rather than the post-funk.
Okay.
Personally.
All right.
So, anyway, 603-283-6160. Let's go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live.
It's your boy. great.
Now he cackles.
All right, that's enough of that.
Okay.
Yeah, we all know who that was. And if you don't know, well, go listen to, go find the archives.
Don't.
You are welcome.
If you don't know, you're welcome.
You are welcome. Yeah. So we were talking about this story from Cincinnati.com about a pastor who has been targeted by the state, the city, whatever, the thugs, the goons, the cops, if you will.
The local gang, the mafia.
For helping the homeless stay warm in freezing weather. He has a church, and apparently he'd been warned since November, back in November.
The state shook their finger at him.
And said, if you continue to open your church to help the homeless people keep warm, why, you'll really get it. Or I don't know what they said, but
God's 11th commandment is handed down by the state, thou shalt not house the homeless people.
During winter.
It's one of those commandments that was dropped.
Well, you see, you got to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Oh, let's
and
not
it turns out Caesar claims everything, so, you know. Well, and don't try and get out of it with that render unto God what is God's, because Caesar claims to be a god. So, you know, just got to give the state everything all of the time.
What about little Caesars?
Give them $5 for a hot and juicy pizza.
Hot and ready?
Okay.
Well, you see, the circular shape and the golden cheese represent the sun.
If my pizza's juicy, it's something's wrong.
Sorry, there was a guy who used to like do the, you know, he used to hold the sign out front of the Little Caesars where I lived, and that's what he would shout, hot and juicy.
Ah. So, at any rate, meanwhile.
Did that make anyone want pizza?
Dude, we bought from Dickie all the time.
Meanwhile,
remember that dude's name. He had the name tag.
Meanwhile, back in Ohio, the community shelter board counted 2,337 people designated as unhoused right in central Ohio during the January 25th, 23 point-in-time count. So somewhere in the north of 2,000 people homeless in Ohio during the coldest part of January. The author says, I thought about those struggling to find safe housing in Columbus when I read the inhumane rationale from Bryan City officials for the charges against Avell. The city's engineer received complaints about people living in the church, which is zoned for business.
See?
A designation that prohibits residential usage on the first floor. Like,
so they could have put them in the upper pews and it would have been fine?
Or in the basement.
So, again, wasn't the point of being a church not to be a business, so you're already letting them slide with that.
What do you want
you
the state to zone
it? You could just not be evil. I you know, just right. Be like, you know, we're letting you be not a business in right. A business zone.
Right.
So we're just going to go ahead and let you be not a residential in not a residential zone.
How many zoning designations do you want the state to have, though?
Zero.
Zero.
Okay. Obviously.
Zero's a good number.
All right.
I like zero.
I'll take that. But if it's like right now, it's like residential and commercial, and that's what you get.
Well, and if they're really
we do not have things centrally planned because it makes them worse.
If they're really going to hold
this church.
Then you
have pig farms next to houses, pigless.
No, you don't, because it's really hard to keep someone paying rent when they're next to a pig farm.
Okay. If they're really going to hold this church
to
zoning ordinances, shouldn't they just be like, hey, this area is zoned for business, which you are not, and, like, kick them out? Right? You would think that would be the thing to do. Like, they should have done this many moons ago. Why is a non-business able to exist in a business-zoned area?
Because they're also not residential. They're not, their purpose is
but
not
they're
to
not
house
a business,
people.
Right? If it's zoned for business.
That's
right?
Why. But you got to pick one, man.
I mean, I guess
residential,
yeah.
Commercial.
Are they doing God's business?
The state has the designations.
Uh huh.
Where would you put a church? Under the state paradigm, where would you put a church?
Under the state paradigm, where would I put a church?
Where would you put a church?
Well.
Nonprofit.
So
you've got to add a designation.
So here's what I would do.
Designation for nonprofit.
I would say that you can't have them in either of them, and that will upset people enough that they'll go, why are we doing this? This is dumb. And then we stop zoning.
They're not going to stop zoning. They're going to put them in the agricultural area, or they're going to force them out into non-zoned areas.
Agriculture is a zone.
I know.
Those are farming zones, and this is farming.
It.
They're not allowed to be there either.
I got it. So then the unlikelihood is that people are going to rise up. The likelihood is they're going to have to go to where there is no zoning, and people are going to be upset that they have to travel that far to go to church, but that's what they're going to end up doing. And the churches will go out of business for lack of parishioners.
I don't think that's actually going to happen. I think people will be upset enough to demand that you stop doing the thing that's keeping them from talking to God. That tends to be what people do.
Well, normal churchgoers would probably understand that you don't need the building to talk to God, though.
The author continues, I thought about a homeless man I wrote about years ago. He climbed into a dumpster to stay warm one cold winter night, and he was crushed to death the next morning by a garbage collector who did not realize he was in there.
Oh, there was another story about that recently as well. Some lady got crushed and survived.
Wow. Like those housed in Avell's church, the man needed somewhere to go. The only place he had was a trash dumpster. We have got to do better. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel column I read about Avell reminds me of what Jesse Vogel, a fellow at the Legal Aid Society of Columbus, recently wrote in his Dispatch Opinion guest column about a father he encountered at a legal clinic for former Colonial Village apartment residents. An unlicensed property manager at that 508-unit apartment complex on Columbus's east side rented to people despite rooms being boarded up and having no heat. Why would anyone stay in conditions like that? Where well else could we go, said the father, a Haitian immigrant. In a December 13th letter, Bryan Police Chief Gregory E. Ruskie cited case law that backed up the charges that Avell faces.
Yep.
Oh, you're a church. No, it doesn't matter if you're a church. We have case law. We have precedent.
This what you just said, they had nowhere else to go, that is an idea that permeates more than just this story, right? People are always, like, the people are always trying to take care of those, like, the bottom rung during the worst stuff.
Yep.
Unknowingly that's the best they can do.
Right.
Because if they could do better, they would, and this is where they're at. And if you take that away, you don't magically make them better.
Right.
You magically make them worse.
Right, yeah.
So stop doing that.
Right, now they have nothing. It's like when I was in Seattle.
Like
they,
raising the minimum wage.
There was all
more unemployed people.
I don't think that's what drives that activity at all. I don't think they're trying to take care of the homeless people. I think they're trying to get rid of the eyesore of it. Like,
well,
they
the state
trying
is,
to,
but well, the church is trying to help.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right. then let them go inside the church. It's a win-win.
Right.
The church takes care of them. There's no eyesore because they're off the street.
Well,
and the homeless people are warm.
These are problems that we wouldn't have if there weren't all of these regulations keeping us from building quote-unquote substandard housing and putting these people indoors in the first place. Yeah, that's why they're out there.
Yeah.
Is because they can't afford anything, and we aren't allowed to build what they can afford.
Yeah, back in Seattle, the homeless, at some particular junctions, because Seattle's just a bunch of bridges, right? It's a bunch of hills and mountains, right? So the roadway is mostly bridges. And so the homeless would sleep underneath the bridges, right? The crevices where the hill meets the bridge and that kind of a thing. And so to address the problem, the state decided to build these, I don't even know what to call them. They look like little pyramids that stick up. From the pavement, from the asphalt, so that it was not comfortable for you to lay down.
Oh, they do that with the benches.
Right.
They put spikes on the benches or partitions. We're just separating three seats now, so there's three seats.
Right, so you can't lay down.
You can't lay down.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you carry, like, a couple 2x4s with you or
whatever.
Right, yeah. So what happened in Seattle when they started doing these spikes under the bridges? Well, all of a sudden, all the homeless had to go somewhere else more visible than it was before. They exacerbated the problem by taking away the one, you know, and like, you know, is it a public highway? Well, if it is, or a public roadway, if it is, then shouldn't anyone be able to use it?
Well, and don't go there, because then you'll have the protesters blocking traffic, which is another problem.
Yeah.
But
it is.
Under the highway,
that happened too.
Under the highway is not an obstruction.
Right.
Right. They're not bothering anybody. They're just existing underneath an existing
structure. Well, you see, the public will has stated that these are to only be used in certain ways, and since the public will is what owns it, they get to determine what gets to be used for.
Public will, i.e. the politicians who reportedly run the place.
Yep.
Their will, Not your will, not the public will, their will.
Well, and those protesters who are in the road are exactly what the politicians use to say, well, do you want this to happen? Because this is what happens when you don't let us arbitrarily enforce our will, theoretically, on your behalf.
And private roadways would solve that as well, but whatever.
Yeah. As always, that's the actual solution.
The law might be on the side of the city, but that does not mean much to those who find themselves struggling to find shelter, even if it is not ideal, safe, or warm. What Avell did was not perfect, but he did do something. How many of us can say the same?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean...
Die, freeze to death outside the church, right, or survive one more night in the church illegally. Life or death, man.
Yeah,
break the law.
I mean, if I were a homeless person and about to freeze because, you know, it was below zero or whatever, even just below 30, right? And, like, somebody opened the church and was like, dude, if you're cold, come on in. I'm coming in, you know? If the state wants to do something, great. Far out, solid, right on, you know?
Or go rob a liquor store and get arrested and spend the night in a nice warm jail cell.
Mm.
You know,
well, and
there's that too.
And you were saying, don't do it violently, right? Just be like, hey, I'm robbing you, call the cops.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, you were saying earlier about how a lot of people are like, well, these are the things that are beyond the non-aggression principle. And it's like, well, wait a second. Now, if you decide, I mean, you have to do something. Now, if what you decide to do is to embrace so much the non-aggression principle as to help other people be less violent, one of the things you could do is like, hey, when people are desperate, they're more likely to be violent. So I'm going to go find ways to make people less desperate. For example, these people are about to be desperate because when you are that cold, you get real desperate real quick.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah, and again, I'm fine with that, but, it, you know, the non-aggression principle is the baseline. This is well above it.
Well, the thing is, though, this is the same thing. You're just expanding to make the non-aggression easier.
Well, this by is, somebody else.
This is just basic human compassion is
I get it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, right, on occasion, people will take their basic human compassion and allow the state to act on their behalf. Right?
Way too many times.
Well, but that's how you get a lot of policies enacted that benefit some sort of justice issue.
Yeah.
Right? So, well, those people need to be helped, and you won't voluntarily help them, so we're going to compel your assistance through state programs.
And these and we wouldn't occasional call that. Flub-ups are just the cost of living in a civilized society. If we just let these people do whatever they want to, there will be chaos all of the time.
But we don't call that non-aggression plus, right? Because that, even though compassionate, maybe in intent, is not compassionate in outcome.
Yeah. The long arm of the law came down on him for doing what we as a society should do, providing a place for those among us who struggle. No one wants to stay in a church, but they had nowhere else to go, Avell told Fox News. Many of these people, they've been rejected by their families. They've been cast aside by their communities. If the church is not willing to lay down their life for them, who will?
Well, and another example of compassionate intent can, in fact, do the exact opposite. So there are plenty of people, I guarantee you, that really honestly believe that the best thing for humanity is to just let these people die.
Just
reduce the carbon footprint.
That you are the carbon they want to reduce.
Yeah.
That has
don't
been
you
very
understand?
Clear.
If we don't reduce the carbon footprint, we are all going to die. So as heartless as it seems to you libertarians to just let people die in the cold, we need social order, and sometimes you got to break some eggs to make some omelets.
It's also a misunderstanding of how carbon benefits life. So
carbon literally is life.
It is.
Well, okay, yeah, I'll take that answer too.
The counts of L faces disregard a few facts. The unhoused needs somewhere to go. Being homeless is not a crime. I know it is, like,
maybe not
in some
maybe
places,
not in their jurisdiction.
But it shouldn't be. Helping homeless people should also not be a crime. The real crime is that we as people do not do nearly enough to help those in need. And this sort of calls back to what you guys were saying about, like, people outsourcing their charity. They think that, like, oh, well, I pay my taxes and they deal with that for me. No, that's not how it works. They don't deal with it for you. They don't take care of people for you. Nobody takes your tax money and does charitable things with it, okay? It just doesn't happen.
Well, they give out welfare to some people. I mean, It's not charitable in the sense, but they are helping those who can't
right.
with your money.
So if people who complain about the homeless don't actually do anything other than allow the state to take taxes, then they actually don't care about the homeless.
I'll accept that. It's a virtue signal.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lip service. There you go.
The real crime is that we do not do nearly enough to help those in need. For this, society is the one who needs a day in court. Well, I beg to differ with that last statement, but I get the point that this author's trying to make.
Well, and I think that's really the core issue, is that people equate government and society.
And they're two different things. Like, in the absence of government, society still exists.
Yeah,
they open a frickin' history book.
Yeah, they are, in fact, such different things. They are opposites. The opposite of society is when you use threats to get your way.
Yeah, and that's not cool, right? This is, if you're, again, violating the NAP, right? If you're threatening somebody to get your way, you are in the wrong. If you are forcing somebody at gunpoint to get your way, you are in the wrong. It's that simple. You learned it in kindergarten. Don't hit people. Don't take their stuff. Like, it's that simple, people. Sometimes, I know libertarians like to argue about, like, the minutiae and, like, the what if this and the what if that and, like, everybody...
Lifeboat you know, scenarios.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Extreme
you would clearly
scenarios.
Violate the non-aggression principle if your life depended on it.
Right. But the point is that it's not that difficult, right? Libertarians, the principles being a voluntarist is pretty easy most of the time.
The core fundamental is the non-aggression principle is very easy most of the time.
Easier than knowing all of the laws that may apply to you at one point or another, depending on what piece of dirt you're standing on.
Right, but it's insufficient, which is why we need these charitable
Correct.
Things
yes.
and
but it,
beyond.
But it's a good place to start, and it's not so complicated. Like, oftentimes, oh man, and this kind of, well.
And it's also good for knowing where to stop on these good ideas. So, yeah, if you have this church that's keeping people warm when they would otherwise die, that's great.
Yep.
But if they have to go steal money in order to keep that going,
yep.
then you're doing the wrong thing.
If the church is being subsidized by the state in some form or fashion.
603-283-6160. Do you do anything to help people in need? Do you, I don't know, do you serve in a soup kitchen? Do you donate money? Do you, what do you do to actually help people in need? Or do you just think tax money takes care of it for you? Give us a call. Your thoughts are welcome. More Free Talk Live, hour number two, is coming up. Don't go anywhere.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.